Well, again, it's a joy and a privilege to be able to be in the house of the Lord this morning. If you're visiting, we welcome you again. Want you to feel at home in the service. Trust we've all had a good week in the Lord. And was grateful for the privilege to be able to come, gather together in His house once again this morning. Thank Him for the beautiful morning that He's given unto us. And I pray that we've just all come for the right reason, just to get in, get whatever it is that the Lord has for us. Certainly miss those who are not able to be here with us today. And we continue to pray for these that are sick, that the Lord will touch them. And I've talked to some of them on and off throughout the week, and there's some improvement. And a lot of times with improvement, then there's some back sets and things, and some of those have experienced that. But we're grateful for improvement and look forward to seeing them in the house of the Lord. Good to have some back with us that weren't able to be here for sickness. Glad they're here, and glad you're here this morning. Thank the Lord for the privilege to come together. If you have your Bibles this morning, we'll turn, please, to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, chapter number 55. Psalms, chapter number 55. We'll read this chapter this morning. And look at a few things here if the Lord will touch us and help us. Certainly desire your prayers that He would help us this morning. And certainly can't do anything without Him, and need His touch and need His help in the service today. Psalm chapter number 55, when you found your place, if you're physically able and willing to do so, we'll stand together. Of course, by standing, we're just showing reverence and honor to the reading of the Word of God. Psalm chapter 55, I just want to read one verse, and we'll look probably at some other verses in the chapter and reference some of them, but I just want to read one this morning, try our best to give you what's on our heart by the help of the Lord today. Psalm 55 and verse number 22, the Bible says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." I want to read the first part of that verse again. "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee." Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I'd like to preach this morning out of this chapter and this portion of this verse, the first portion of the verse where the Bible said to cast thy burden upon the Lord and He shall sustain thee. It's been working in my heart the last few days about the fact that the Lord is our burden bearer. That's what I want to preach on this morning for just a little while. If the Lord would help me and you'd pray for me on our burden bearer. Now here in Psalm chapter 55, if we look at the heading, most everybody in the Word of God, the copy that you hold in your hands this morning, there's a heading to every one of the Psalms. Here in this one, we're told that it is a Psalm of David. But not just a Psalm of David, but the word Maschil is written at the top of this Psalm, and that is a Hebrew word for instruction. And so out of this psalm, there is to be gained instruction for the child of God. Now, if we read through this psalm, and we didn't this morning, I didn't feel compelled to. We just read one verse and verse number 22. But if we read through this psalm, we would understand that David, many times in the psalms, and especially in this one, is going through a dark time in his life. We can look at verses 1 through 8 and look at some of the words and the phrases that David uses. He asked the Lord in verse number 1 to give ear to his prayer and to hide not himself from his supplication. He said, "I mourn," in verse number 2, "in my complaint and make a noise." He talks in verse number 3 about the enemy, about the oppression of the wicked. He says in verse number 4 that his heart is so pained within him and the terrors of death are falling on him. In verse 5, he talks about fearfulness and trembling and horror that has overwhelmed him. In verse number 6, he asks that he had wanted or wished
wish for the wings of the dove, that he might fly away and leave all his trouble behind. I thought about in the days that we're living in and looking around at many of the people of God, how many times, how many of us have wanted and wished that we could fly away and escape all the trouble and the things that we were going through. Now here's a man after God's own heart. That's the label, the Word of God, and God himself put upon David. We understand that David had faults and failures. We understand that David made many mistakes. Some of them were very great mistakes, and we understand that David reaped the consequences for his sin because of his rebellion, because of the sin that he committed with Bathsheba. We know that the Bible said that the sword never departed from the house of David. And here in this chapter is a portion of the sufferings that David is experiencing in his own life. But the reality is that you and I, we go through things in this life. Paul said that all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now in our day, we think we have an idea of what persecution is, and we feel like that there is no persecution against the child of God in this day, at least in America. But persecution doesn't necessarily mean what we read of in days of old. It doesn't necessarily mean just a physical torture. It doesn't just necessarily mean giving your life for the cause of Christ, or being tied to a stake and asked to renounce Christ or die, or to be pulled apart by horses as it were in days of old in England. Or what's going on now? We're living in a day where I'm afraid, and I'm just going to preach this morning and try to give you what's on my heart, but we live in a day where we think that as it is in America for the church and the child of God, so it is everywhere around the world. But that's not so. Anybody that's watched the news, and I'm not going to preach out of the newspaper or preach the news this morning, but anybody that's watched the news, regardless of your opinion or my opinion about choices that have been made, have seen what's going on in Afghanistan and the Taliban taking over again. I've got word myself personally from preachers that are going in hiding, missionaries and families and children of God. I read a report about one family that died while they were on the phone with another family. They would not renounce Christ. Even the children said, "We will not renounce the name of Christ," and they died by gunfire, and the other missionary family listening on could hear. And I'm telling you, we're not exempt from that coming right here where we are. But the reality is that there's grace for every need. I thought about as I read the report about that family, and some of you may have seen it too, but the woman said while she was on the phone with the other family, she said, "There's great boldness that has come over us knowing that they're coming in and we're going to have to die. But," she said, "I'm not afraid to die for my Lord." I thought, and it stirred in my heart, the reason she is able to say what she said is there was a burden bearer that could take the fear away, take the pain away, take the dread away. And I'm telling you this morning that if he can do that for them, what are our problems? What are our issues? That God can't take our burdens. The Bible said to cast them upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. It didn't say he might. It didn't say he could. And he can. I'm glad he can. But it said he shall. It is affirmative language. Now the word cast here in the scripture, it means to hurl. It means to throw on. It means literally that you have to lose possession. You cannot come to the altar with your burden and cast it on the Lord and then somehow carry it back with you when you get up from your knees. But in order to have a burden bearer, he must take your load from you. That's why he said in the Gospels, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke yoke that he has given me yours and take mine, for my burden's easy and light. And he said, you can learn of me. He said, give me your heavy burden and take my light burden. Give me your difficult yoke and take my easy yoke. I'm glad this morning to know that whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, we have a burden bearer that can help us through what we're going through.
Now, David here, we read and looked and referenced the first few verses. David is in a dark time, but David's under a heavy load. If we were to read on, especially in verses 12 through 15, in my Bible, and I have a Scholar Bible, and it's nothing fancy, it's just the one that I found that study in the Psalms. It breaks it up the way they would have sung them or the way they would have been written in the old days. And 12 through 15 is grouped together by itself, and David has turned his attention on to why he's under such a heavy load. He said in verse number 12, he said, it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. David said, if it had been the Philistines, that had always been my enemy that did have done what is done, he said, I could have handled that. But he said, it wasn't an enemy. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me, then I would have hid myself from it. But he said in verse 13, but it was thou, a man, mine equal, my God, and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked under the house of God in company. David's been betrayed by a friend. See, most people believe, and if you read the Psalm 52, the most logical thing, or what we most agree on, the time period of what was going on, was that David was running from Absalom, his son. And we all know the story about how Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel to follow after him and reject David from being king, and that David stood up off the throne. He left the city Jerusalem. He walked across the brook Kidron, went up the Mount of Olives with weeping, with his head covered and barefoot as a symbol of mourning and reproach, because Absalom was trying to take his life and to take the kingdom. But not just Absalom now, but now there's a man who was supposed to be a friend to David, who had been a counselor to David in days gone by, who had walked to the house of God that with David, hand in hand and step in step, by the name of Ahithophel. And now Ahithophel has turned to Absalom, and he's turned to Absalom and said, let me take a company of men and go yonder and hunt for the king. He said, I'll spare all the men that are with the king, but I'll slay the king, and then the throne will be yours, and all the men that are with him will turn from him and turn to you. And Ahithophel conspired with Absalom against David. David thought Ahithophel loved him. David thought Ahithophel was on his side, but on this day he betrayed the king, and now David's under such a heavy load, not just running from his own son, but now his own friends have conspired against him to take his life away. What a burden David must have been under. Can you imagine how David felt? I've often thought about it, and my mind can't understand it, because we're separated by our culture. We don't understand things like it was in the Old Testament. But I thought, could you imagine having to get up off the rightful throne that God himself, not some man, David wasn't elected there, David wasn't chosen by the people, but God anointed him in great power and made his place on the throne of Israel. But now David had to get up, he's had to leave the throne, he's had to leave Jerusalem, he's had to leave the place of worship, he's had to leave the place of sacrifice, he's had to leave the place of joy, he's had to leave the place of contentment, he's had to leave the place he's familiar with and flee away because of his own son who conspired to take his life. And now not just his son, but now word comes to David about Ahithophel's counsel. And they said, David, King David, he who said he loved you, he who said he was on your side, he who gave you counsel, he who walked to the house of God with you, he has conspired against you to take your life for Absalom's sake. David's under a heavy load, and David's just wanting a way out. I wonder about you this morning.
had a lot of things run through my mind. The Lord has worked on my heart. How many times do we just want out? I mean, the burden gets so heavy and we get so low in despair, and it can be anything. It can be physical burdens. I'm going to tell you, your physical well-being, if you've been sick in the past, I mean really, really sick, your physical well-being will dictate your spirituality a lot of times. I've heard men, and I'm nothing to be an example for, but I've heard men that I have great confidence in. Brother Andrew talking, I've talked to him, and he's a missionary at missionaries. I mean, he's God's man, and he himself, I've heard him say that many times when we suffer physically or we go through sickness or infirmity, it will weaken the spirituality of a man if we're not careful, and we'll get to the place that the burden gets so heavy that we get in despair. And it's at that point I'm glad we have somebody that we can roll the burden on, and he'll be our burden bearer. Here in the scripture, the Bible said David, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, said cast. That word cast means to let go, to throw, to hurl, to fling. We're instructed in the New Testament in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 to cast all our care upon the Lord because he cares for us. But then, here in the scripture, in 1 Peter 5 and 7, and I'm not saying that there's not an application, there is in this scripture, but Peter uses the word care. The word care in the New Testament, it means anxiety, it means worry, it means stress, it means all them things you're fretting about, all them things that are out of your control, all them things you wish you could fix but you can't. Peter said, just cast it all on the Lord. Everything that's going wrong in your life, just cast it on the Lord because he cares for you. But here in the Psalms, David says, cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. Now the word burden does carry with it that word of stress, that word of anxiety, that word of worry, and that word of fear. But the main definition in the Hebrew of the word burden is simply your lot, how it has come to be with you, however it just turns out in your life, whatever way you went down, whatever thing God has chosen to give unto you. See, the Lord, I understand that David made some choices and he had to pay, but many times the things, the burdens, the troubles that come in our life, as it was with Job, it's not always when you've done wrong. It's not always as a result of sin, but sometimes there are things that God allows to come in our path. Sometimes it's just the lot God gives us. Sometimes it's just the path we go down. But I'm glad this morning that the Bible said whatever God has given to you, you can cast it right back on him and he will sustain thee. He's your burden bearer. And so I began to think, and it got to working in my heart about here we are and we're gathered together. Some are not with us, some are back with us, and I'm glad for those who are back and longing, and for those who are not here to be able to be here again. But whoever was going to be here, God knew it before you ever come this morning. And it may just be that the path you're taking, it may just be your lot in life that God's given unto you. It may just be that circumstances have changed that are beyond your control, and you feel like you're under a burden, and you feel weighted down. Maybe there's a choice you've got to make, and you don't know how to make the choice. Maybe there are things coming down the road at work, or in your life, or in your family, or in your home, and it's got you burdened and you're carrying a weight. But the Lord said to tell you this morning, just to cast it on him, and he'll sustain you. That word sustain in Hebrew means literally that he'll nourish you. He'll give you sustenance. He'll pick you up. He'll give you strength. It was Paul that the Lord said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And so when we're weak, Paul said, then we'll find that we are strong. It will cast all our burden on the Lord. It will just give it all to him. As the writer of the psalm said, nobody else might understand. We might not understand. It might not all make sense. The pieces may not all fit together, right? But if God's come by and offered a shoulder for you, just cast it all on him. He's the burden bearer.
and he'll help you along the way. I thought about in the scriptures, I began to study and just read through the scriptures on Friday night, I guess it was. And I got to thinking about the burden bearer. And I got to thinking about a phrase I'd heard a preacher use in preaching one time. I don't remember who it was. Might have been Brother Seaton. I don't know. I just remember there's a preacher used a phrase in preaching one time, said, "The Lord has broad shoulders." And I got to thinking about that, and I thought, oh, how true that is, that every care that we could cast on him is not too big for him to bear. But then I got to thinking, some of you were at the meeting, some of you weren't able to be there, but when me and Brother Yoakley preached together at Coles Cove, Brother Yoakley made a statement one time to Brother Tonkin about Isaiah chapter 9, I think it is, and verse number 6, where the Bible said the government shall be upon his shoulders. That's talking about the Lord's shoulders. And Brother Yoakley said, yeah, the Bible says that the government is on his shoulders. Brother Tonkin said, correction, Brother Yoakley, it's on his shoulder, singular. And that got to working in my heart again. And I got to running references in the scripture. Do you know that there is not a single verse in the whole Word of God that both his shoulders are specifically mentioned, that they are ever both occupied? Anytime you read about the Lord, it's always his shoulders, singular. That he bears the government on his shoulders, singular. That he carries the throne of David on his shoulders, singular. That he bears the weight of the kingdom on his shoulders, singular. Every time you read about man, it's always his shoulders, plural. That both his shoulders, plural, are laden. Both his shoulders are occupied. But there's never a verse in the Word of God. I understand there is a parable in the Gospel of Luke about the shepherd going after the sheep and bringing the sheep back on his shoulders. Plural. But do you know that's the only time, and that's when it involves you and I, that both his shoulders are ever occupied. And so I come to tell you this morning that there's a shoulder vacant just for you and just for your burden. He can carry the world on one shoulder and have one for you. He can carry the universe on one shoulder and have one just for you. He can carry the weight of everybody on one shoulder and still have one vacant for you and for your burden. Just cast it on him. He'll sustain you. He'll get you through. I'm glad to know this morning. I don't know if it does anything for you, but boy, it picked my heart up and lifted my spirits Friday night when I got to reading about that. And I just started running references in the Bible. I said, "Lord, I want to know if this is so. I don't want to go in and get false information." But the more I read, the more my heart got picked up that both his shoulders are never occupied. Only when it comes to me and you, I'm glad there's a shoulder that we can lean on. There's a shoulder we can cry on. There's a shoulder we can cast on. Whatever you need this morning, he's got it for you. I was sitting in the house Friday night, and there's a song come on, and y'all know how I am about songs, and I don't know if my wife knew what I was doing, but this was already working in my heart, and it come on, and I played it again and again and again. And then I was up here this morning and looking through, trying to hurry and flip through and find some songs to sing this morning before the service started. And I didn't even know the song was in the red hymnal. And I don't know the song that well. So I'm just going to try to find it this morning and read a few words of it to you. But I listened to it about 5 or 6 times last night in the living room. And the whole time my heart was jumping up and down because I knew what God was working in me, that we could cast our burden on him and he'd sustain us, he'd nourish us, he'd strengthen us, he'd take care of us, that his shoulders are not both occupied, but there's one for you. Whatever your trouble, whatever your heartache, whatever your burden, there's a shoulder of the Lord for you to cast it on this morning. I thought about this, so I don't know how many of you ever heard it. I had never heard it, and I said that, and my wife kind of looked at me funny, so apparently she had heard it before, but I never had heard it before. Until a few months ago, I guess, I heard this same man singing, and then it come on in the living room Friday night. But the chorus says, "Leave it there, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there." See, I don't know how you are, but I'm going to confess, I'm not too good with leaving it there.
I can do all right sometimes of taking it to him, but then I want to lay it down and pick it back up again when I walk back to my seat and think that I took it to him. I might have took it to him, but I didn't leave it there. I'm going to tell you how to get relief this morning is to leave it there. You're going to have to leave it there. Take it to him and leave it there. Trust him that he can take care of it. Trust him that he can handle it. Trust that his shoulders are big enough to take care of you and your family, your sons and your daughters. Just leave it there.
The writer said, take it. Leave it there, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. You say, preacher, but you don't know what I'm going through. I don't, but the Lord does. See, the writer of the song said, if the world from you withhold of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare. Now, we're all doing pretty good this morning. The Lord surely blessed us, but there may come a day that we may be back to that again. He said, just remember in his word how he feeds the little bird. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain and your soul is almost sinking in despair. Now, them's two different things there. That's physical trouble and spiritual trouble. I began to run references about him bearing, him carrying, and it took me over to the book of Isaiah, over there in Isaiah 53, where Isaiah saw that prophetic vision of the Lord, and this is what he said. It said in Isaiah 53 and 4, it says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. The word borne means not just to carry, but it means to take away. It means to carry it all. It's the same word they use for the fit man. When he takes the scapegoat and the priest in the Old Testament confesses all the sins of the people on the head of the goat, and then the fit man picks up the goat and carries it into an uninhabited place in the wilderness and leaves it there, never to return again. That's what the Lord can do with our griefs and our sorrows. Not just carry them for us, but he can take them away. But the Lord wasn't just searching for words to take up the pages of the Word of God. The word griefs and sorrows are two different things. The word griefs means sickness and disease, what this writer was saying, when your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain. But then the word sorrows, it's not just physical pain, but it's also mental turmoil and spiritual warfare. And that's what this writer said. And he said, your soul is almost sinking in despair. Jesus knows the pain you feel. He can save and he can heal. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Matter of fact, in the Gospel of Matthew, I think it is, that this verse from Isaiah 53 and 4 is quoted while Jesus is on the earth. And he's come into a city and they have brought to him all that are sick and those that are possessed with devils. And in this verse it's quoted that the scripture might be fulfilled about their iniquities and diseases. That is their griefs and their sorrows. And in those griefs or sorrows is multiplied all of those who are physically sick and all of those who are spiritually sick. And he touched them and healed them all and took all their problems away. And I'm going to tell you this morning, if your body is in pain, whether it's physical suffering or if you're in despair, just take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Just leave it there. He bore burdens for many before me and you, and he can bear ours too. Just take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. See, these shoulders I'm preaching about, this burden bearer I'm trying to preach about, and I'm about done this morning, is the one that Isaiah said is borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. It's the shoulder, the one singular shoulder that Isaiah 9:6 said he could carry the government on his shoulder. That the psalmist said that the kingdom of David would be upon his shoulder, singular. And there's that one vacant for you. But then I thought about We go in the scriptures to the Gospel of John, chapter 19 and verse 17. And the Bible said that after he's been betrayed in the garden, after he's been tried by the high priest and delivered to Pilate, after Pilate's found no fault in him and wanted to deliver him back again, but the Jews have cried, "Crucify him." And they've beaten him with 39 stripes, and they have delivered him out of the dungeon. And now he's on his way to a place outside the city called Calvary. John 19, 17 says, "And he, bearing his cross, was led away to a place called the place of a skull. And on his shoulders that day was the cross." Now I'm going to tell you something. That cross he carried was more than just a piece of wood, but it's what that cross symbolized. He was carrying all the sin of the whole world on his shoulder. He was carrying all the shame that you and I would ever have to face and that we wouldn't have to face because of him. He became a shame for us. He who knew no sin, he didn't become a sinner. You'll not find that anywhere in the Word of God. He never was and never will be a sinner. He did not become a sinner, but he was made to become sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so on that broad shoulder of our Lord, he's carrying the sin of the whole world. He's carrying the shame for every man. He's carrying the suffering of the wrath of his Father that all of us should be a partaker of. But thank God, because we're saved this morning, we have not been appointed unto wrath. I was talking to a dear lady yesterday, a dear saint of God, and she said, we was talking, I said, "The Bible, nowhere in the Bible can I find that we're going to get out of this world without some trouble." I said, "Thank God we've not been appointed to wrath, but trouble's going to come." I'm glad this morning, because of Christ and because of what he carried that day at Calvary and because of what he carried away from my heart on the day he saved me and the day he saved you, we will not suffer the wrath of God, but trouble may come. But I'm glad when it does come, we've got a burden bearer to carry the load. It's not just about sin and shame, but do you know that if you study the Word of God, on the day Adam sinned and transgressed the law of God in the Garden of Eden, a curse was placed upon man and upon the ground. Everything was cursed. It's the reason why when you go to plant a garden, you have to stay in it all the time to keep the weeds out, because the ground has been cursed. God said, "In the sweat of your face will you eat bread." And the Bible said, "Cursed is every man that hangs on a tree." And so he bore the curse of man for you and me that day, and he carried it away. I'm glad this morning to know that the same shoulders that can carry the government, and the same shoulder that could carry the cross, and the same shoulder that could bear away the sin of the world, and the same shoulder that could bear the suffering of God, he's the only one that ever came through the suffering of God and came out alive on the other side. The only man, the God-man, that could endure the wrath of God and come out alive on the other side. He endured all the wrath of God for all mankind that day at Calvary. Calvary was much more. We kind of underemphasize the cross. We kind of overlook a lot of things. Now, I understand there was a great deal of physical pain and torture. Now, I'm not underestimating or underemphasizing that. But Calvary was much more than just a physical pain. Calvary was the place, do you understand, that the Father and the Son had been together always for all eternity. There was never a point of separation. Even when he took upon himself the form of a servant and came, they were still in unity and harmony with one another. And every day he walked, they were inseparable, the Father and the Son. But on this day, they separated from each other. That's why he cried with a loud voice, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Because he became sin, and the Father cannot look upon sin. And so he was separated for the first time for all eternity, for all eternity from his Father. And he endured that separation that mankind had brought in sin from his Father at Calvary. He endured humiliation. They stripped him off naked and crucified him in an open shame. They sat down, the Bible said, to watch him die. But he endured it all. And the Bible said that the Lord, the Father, saw of the travail of his soul and was satisfied. God was well pleased. The Bible said it pleased the Lord to bruise his Son for you and me. And he endured all of that. And he arose that third and appointed morning. And he ascended back to the Father. And he sat down, the book of Hebrews said, ever to be our intercessor. Ever living. That's why he liveth. That is his purpose. That is why he came. Why he died. To save us and to be our intercessor between God and man. And the Bible said, now we have a great high priest who has passed into the heavens, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he said he can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. That means what you're going through, he understands. Somebody wrote a song one time and said, he understands my tears. I'm going to tell you this morning, I don't fully understand, and neither do you, if we really did understand. Oh, that would break our heart on the inside out of agony for him, but out of joy for the fact that there's never a time that you'll ever go through anything in this life that he won't understand what you're going through. When you feel betrayed, oh, he was betrayed by his own. When you feel unloved, all those that said they loved him. Peter said, I'll go with you, I'll die with you. And he even cursed and swore that he didn't know him. When you feel like your family's turned away, his Father turned his back on him because he had to. I'm going to tell you this morning, there's not a thing you'll encounter, not a trouble you'll ever go through, not a burden you'll ever bear. Number one, that he don't understand. But number two, he won't help you carry the load if you'll take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. He's got a vacant shoulder just for you. I don't mean to repeat myself, but that's just what's been stirring in me, that he has a place just for me and you. When you need a shoulder to cry on, he can be the shoulder. When you need somebody to lean on, I grew up in the home church I grew up in, and I know Brother Jacob's home church and my wife's home church too. We grew up singing that song, Lean on Me When You're Sad. There's a better day ahead. I'm glad, and that one of them verses said, when we're blue and we don't know what to do, there's a voice says, child, just lean on me. I'm glad this morning to know there's somebody you can lean on. There's somebody you can take your burden to. But if you're really going to get help with it, you're going to have to leave it there. You're going to have to cast thy burdens, what David said. Cast it on the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. If you need help from the Lord this morning, I'm glad there's help available for you. If you're carrying a burden or under a load, I'm glad there's somebody who can help you through. As we stand all over the house this morning,